President Obama says the State of the Union is getting stronger, but more can be done to rebuild the economy, to create jobs, and tax fairness.
Now, you can call this class warfare all you want, but asking a billionaire to pay at least as much as his secretary in taxes? Most Americans would call that common sense.
Do you call it common sense? Do you call it class warfare? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, January the 25th. We are continuing our analysis of President Obama's State of the Union address and the policies that he outlined last night and the Republican response from Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. And we're welcoming your questions and reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a wide variety of guests that we are going to hear from this hour, including U.S. Representative Tom Petri of Fond du Lac and Ron Kind of La Crosse. They will be joining in with their take, their reaction to the State of the Union a little bit later in the program. We'll also hear from an economist and a political scientist, and we certainly hope to hear from you as well. What did you think of the State of the Union address? And what is your assessment of the State of the Union? Let's welcome our first guest. Susan Johnson is an associate professor and chair of political science and director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Just your general thoughts on President Obama's speech last night.
I thought that overall, rhetorically, it was a good speech. I think that it wasn't what we're used to in terms of lots of policy proposals. I mean, I think he kept it modest in that regard. In terms of the policy focus, I mean, he spoke a lot about the continued economic recovery, and he pointed to several examples to show that the economy is getting back on the right track. And I guess the second policy theme that I would speak to is the idea of economic fairness, and he spoke a lot about that, and a lot of the things he talked about in terms of some of his policy proposals were aimed that way. I think if we consider the political components of the speech, it is an election year, and I think that there were sort of two themes there. One, I would say, is this idea that I, President Obama, want to govern while those in Congress, particularly the Republicans, do not. I think that was one theme he was pushing. And then I think a second was definitely, and tying it into the idea of fairness and the economy, is this populist thread that we've seen him weaving more and more into his speeches.
It was the first time I thought I heard the president actually say the percentage. He said that a millionaire should pay at least 30% of his or her income in taxes. Was that new?
You know, I know he's talked about millionaires before. I'm not sure if he's used the specific idea of that 30%, tax rate. I mean, I think that, remember, yesterday was also the day that Mitt Romney released his tax returns, and we all found out that for the past 2 years at least, he was paying 15% or so an effective tax rate. So I think that there's a juxtaposition there, and this idea that, most Americans pay a much higher tax rate because we're paying it on earned income. And not interest income.
So how does that tax fairness issue play with the public? The president said that it's common sense as far as he's concerned that the American public is with him on this one.
It depends. Actually, if you look at some of the numbers, you see a partisan divide like we see with so many things. But obviously Democrats are more supportive of this idea of taxing higher earners more so. But that whole populism thread that we've seen kind of woven through the Tea Party movement, that we're seeing woven through the Occupy movement, that resonates with a broader base, this idea of fairness. And as we're seeing it juxtaposed with things that we're hearing about Mitt Romney and even within the Republican Party coming back at him in terms of his wealth, I think that there's an opening here for the president to make that case and use fairness as the tool that he's going to use to try to convince people, because the Republicans are going to come back and they're going to argue that it's unfair and you're taxing success and you're picking on people who have been successful and things like that. And I think that what the president's trying to do is argue that he's not trying to punish success. He's simply saying, and he used this idea of the Buffett rule, and we know Warren Buffett's secretary was in the gallery last night, this idea of fairness and the idea that everyone, you know, for the most part, should be paying a similar rate. And those that have the most, in his mind, should not be paying less than those that, you know, we would consider middle class.
The president said he wanted to work together and that we can achieve a lot if we work together. But he says that he will work on the economy with or without Congress.
With or without this Congress, I will keep taking actions that help the economy grow. But I can do a whole lot more with your help. Because when we act together, there's nothing the United States of America can achieve.
So what can the president do without Congress? What kind of executive orders can he do to fix the economy?
Well, you know, we've already seen him do some things in the fall when his initial jobs bill was not getting through Congress, and I would expect to continue to see him do. There are much smaller things that he can do through executive order, but I mean, he can direct different administrative agencies to enact different sorts of policies that can make smaller changes. And I mean, I think that there's the important point here is that, again, that he was trying to make is I'm going to continue to work even if Congress doesn't want to work with me. His broader goals and the way to make big change is by having Congress enact legislation. But I mean, one of the things that he talked about creating that he could do administratively would be creating a new trade enforcement unit that would look at unfair trade practices and things like that. And so there's different things administratively, but the big things and what he was basically saying is the big things we have to do together.
Yeah. What are you hopeful that in this election year that Congress and the president will be working together?
No.
Well, why not?
I think that, you know, as we know, we're in a really contentious time. I think that as both sides are gearing up for the election, there's very little incentive for the Republicans to support the president's initiatives because these are things that he's going to be running on. And so I think that I don't have much hope that we're going to see a lot of big policy changes or things getting done this year. I just don't see that happening.
Well, Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels gave the Republican response, and he didn't think it was fair to blame Republicans in Congress.
It's not fair and it's not true for the president to attack Republicans in Congress as obstacles on these questions. They and they alone have passed bills to reduce borrowing, reform entitlements, and encourage new job creation, only to be shot down time and time again by the president and his Democratic Senate allies.
So, who's to blame, Professor Johnson?
Well, I think there's always plenty of blame to go around. And Daniels is right in the sense that the Republicans in the House have passed a lot of things. And that's common for the party that doesn't control the presidency to pass a lot of things in a House of Congress should they control it. And then that allows them to talk about things that they've done and that the president and the Democrats in the other chamber have not allowed them to see. So I mean, he's not speaking falsely, but I mean, I think that he's not speaking totally honestly either.
Yeah. Well, today President Obama will be on the road selling his economic policy goals that he outlined last night. He's going to be touring three politically crucial states in this post-State of the Union campaign swing, I guess. And that's what it is, isn't it? A campaign swing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not uncommon for a president to go out after his address, and he's doing a five-state, three-day road trip, and he's hitting five states, Michigan, Colorado, Arizona, and a couple others. And he's going to be, you know, selling what he's talking about to the American public. So there's a little bump, a little bit of momentum that you get coming off the State of the Union address. And so what he's doing is hoping to build on that a little more and, you know, get some of the attention back because we've been paying so much attention in the media to the Republican nomination process that this is kind of his chance to maybe own a week. you know, where he hasn't had much chance to do that lately.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your analysis of the address. Thanks for being with us.
Sure thing.
Susan Johnson, Associate Professor and Chair of Political Science, Director of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research at UW-Whitewater. We will be welcoming in just a few minutes an economist to talk about what the president had to say and the Republican response as well. And we welcome your response, and we'll take some of your thoughts and questions. James in Evansville, you're on first. What do you think?
Well, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. I'm just getting old enough to recognize a lot of this stuff is just rhetoric and vagaries. If you remember, you know, I remember Ronald Reagan talking that the space shuttle program was going to make space travel so cheap. And if we remember that nuclear energy came out and they said energy was going to be so cheap, it'll be too cheap to meter. I guess my big problem is so many Americans get swept away with this rhetoric when most of it doesn't pan out. But in the moment, everyone's just so swept away by this stuff. And it's both sides of the aisle. And I guess, you know, a lot of stuff doesn't pan out the way, you know, the rosy pictures painted, but yet so many Americans, and I don't think the State of the Union is as strong. I mean, stuff that's the real problem, like we cannot compete with China when their currency is so devalued, but no one really spoke on things that really matter. Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much, James, for your assessment of the State of the Union. Melinda in Green Bay, what do you think?
Hi. I just wanted to talk also about some of the rhetoric that President Obama spoke of last night, where he said that it's only fair that millionaires are paying the same percentage of taxes that his secretary is paying. And I think some of that rhetoric does stick with people, and I think that's where President Obama gets a lot of challenges from, not only the Republicans, but also people that don't necessarily agree with his so-called socialist views on the economy and healthcare and whatnot. But I think it's really, really good, and it's really important that we listen to some of that rhetoric so we start examining how we want our country to start going. How do we want our healthcare system to start shaping to, and how do we want our tax to? And President Obama, I think, is a really great president because he's raising those questions and he is saying those things that I think, you know, he's getting a lot of challenges about.
Yeah. So do you think he's on the right track or the wrong track, Melinda?
I think he's definitely on the right track. I think we have to start really examining, and we have to start making some big changes in this country, especially with our healthcare system, because, you know, we cannot keep up the inflation rates that are, you know, currently that we're going at.
Thank you very much for being with us. We will invite more of your calls, more of your reaction and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are getting reaction and analysis to the State of the Union, both what President Obama says he would like to do and what the Republican response to that is. And we wonder if you're confident or not. We wonder if you think that the president is going in the right direction or not. What is your assessment of the State of the Union? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
We have a huge opportunity at this moment to bring manufacturing back. But we have to seize it. Tonight, my message to business leaders is simple. Ask yourselves what you can do to bring jobs back to your country. And your country will do everything we can to help you succeed.
That was President Obama last night delivering his State of the Union address, talking about how we should bring back jobs from overseas and we shouldn't reward companies for sending jobs overseas. One aspect of the economic policies that he outlined in last night's address. And we will we'll talk about that and other economic issues raised last night with our next guest. Abdir Chaudhry is professor and chair of the Department of Economics at Marquette University. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what President Obama wants to do about jobs?
Yes, that's one of the things he mentioned, that he wants to bring jobs back to America. And in order to do that, he suggested that we should encourage companies that are bringing jobs back to America. He mentioned Master Lock in Milwaukee, for example, and also limit deductions for companies that are outsourcing to other countries. Now, this, if you look at manufacturing, this is, I would say, is the basis of a competitive economy. Back in the 1970s, in the U.S., manufacturing industries employed about 19 million people. Now that has dropped to about 12 million. So if you want to bring back jobs in the manufacturing sector, you do need some incentives, both from the government side and also from the private sector.
He also talked about how there were jobs that are going unfilled because we don't have people with the skills needed for those jobs. Talk about that. As how big of a problem is that?
That is a big problem. In fact, if you just look at Wisconsin, the skill gap is a major problem that we see. There are companies that require jobs with, for example, technical skills, but there is simply not enough people with that type of specific technical skill to support that job. So the skill gap is a big issue in states like Wisconsin. And for that, I think there needs to be some sort of a partnership between educational institutions and the government, where the educational institutions can, you know, provide programs where, you know, people can acquire those skills.
Mm-hmm. He also talked about creating a better climate for startup businesses.
Tear down regulations that prevent aspiring entrepreneurs from getting the financing to grow. Expand tax relief to small businesses that are raising wages and creating good jobs. Both parties agree on these ideas. So put them in a bill and get it on my desk this year.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, the problem here is this is something that we all agree, I think tend to agree that, you know, there are some regulations that try to stifle startup business. The problem is that it got muddled in the Washington politics, so nothing is happening. And to be honest with you, I don't think we'll see anything specific happen before the election.
Yeah. So is the regulation climate, Professor Chowdhury, in this country, is it stifling job creation?
I can argue on both sides. There are some regulations that needs to be changed in order to encourage jobs. At the same time, there has to be some sort of other regulations in order to make sure that we have the right type of jobs and companies, financial institutions do not take advantage of the situation. So it's sort of a double-edged sword where in some cases we do have a little bit more regulation that we should have. In other cases, we don't see the enforcement of the regulations that we already have in the books.
Well, Professor Chowdhury, we heard President Obama say that the State of the Union, presumably the economy, is getting stronger. And then we heard Republican Governor Mitch Daniels saying that the president is fooling himself if he thinks the State of the Union is anything but grave. What's your assessment?
I tend to agree more with what the president had said. Now, if you look at the economy today, if you look at various indicators, obviously we are not at the level where we would like to be in terms of employment, in terms of the housing sector, in terms of GDP growth. We are not where we would like to be. However, if you compare today with, let's say, 6 months ago or a year ago or even 2 years ago, we are in a much better situation today than we were 6 months, a year, or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And are you optimistic about the direction the economy is moving in?
Yes. Obviously, like everyone else, I'd like to see the economy improve at a much faster rate. But what we are going to see in the next year or 2 years is a very slow growth in the economy, with the GDP growing at about 1%, somewhere between 1.5 to 2%. We'll see a very slow growth. We are not going to go back into what some people call a double dip recession, but I do see the economy improving. Now, there are some wild cards. For example, what will happen to European debt crisis? If that gets from bad to worse, that may have some adverse effect on the U.S. economy. But if you just look at the domestic economy, I expect the economy to improve although not at a very high growth rate.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay. Thank you for having me on your program.
Abdur Chowdhury is a professor and chair of the Department of Economics at Marquette University. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you would like to react to the State of the Union. Shannon in Madison is with us. Hello, Shannon.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to comment. There was a caller before your guest, James, and I wanted to kind of respond to one of the things he said. He was talking about, you know, the Chinese currency and inflation, and, you know, nobody's talking about that. But Obama did address it, and he pointed out that they've brought more actions against China for trade imbalances than any other administration. It's kind of quick. But it was out there, and, you know, it just kind of, you know, my larger point is that folks like James who want to say that Americans are swept away by rhetoric, I think it actually applies to people who buy into this anti-Obama, Obama's a socialist, he's the worst thing that ever happened to this country. You know, I mean, everything that Obama said, all the points he made perfect sense to me as somebody who pays a lot of attention to the news and politics. You know, he addressed a lot of points that many of us out here are talking about and complaining about. And for somebody to only see rhetoric and lofty ideals and, you know, and it didn't mean anything, well, I just think that somebody like that isn't paying attention, because what I think Obama did a great job and everything he said made perfect sense.
Thank you very much, Shannon. We are assessing the State of the Union from the perspectives of many different guests and what your perspective is, too. We welcome in now Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which includes the cities of La Crosse and Eau Claire. And Congressman Kind joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So your reaction to the State of the Union address?
Well, I think it was a powerful speech. And to your previous caller's comment, too, I think it was a speech that could have been delivered in any state, any town in America. Just a lot of common sense proposals of what we need to do to come together to reignite the American dream, get our economy back, creating good-paying jobs, garner respect and strength abroad. And, of course, having Gabby Giffords in the chamber was certainly uplifting, too.
Yeah. Well, gosh, that reminds me of how you guys sat with a Republican Democrat last year,
yes,
wasn't it?
That's right.
And this, it's not that spirit of bipartisanship didn't last very long, though, did it?
Well, we've got to keep working at it. No question, we've got a bitterly divided nation, and look what's happening with our own politics back home in the state of Wisconsin. At some point, there has to be a period of reconciliation and the willingness to sit down and honestly talk and listen to each other and work hard to find common ground. And that's not always easy, but it's essential for any democracy to survive and to function. It's the element of compromise, of give and take, and knowing that it's not just going to be your way or no way at all, but unfortunately too many people, I think, are entering public service with that attitude, that it's their way or no way at all, and if they don't get their way, they're going to take their ball home and stop playing. And that's unfortunate because it doesn't address the real challenges that most working families are facing today. And that's where I think the American people would like to see us focused on. What do we need to do to reignite that American dream and the hope and opportunity for all? And that's why I think, you know, the president's message on economic fairness and opening the doors of opportunity for all Americans is one that is going to be a redeeming theme throughout the course of this presidential campaign.
Let me, Representative Kind, get you to react to what Governor Daniels had to say last night in his Republican response.
The president's grand experiment in trickle-down government has held back rather than sped economic recovery. He seems to sincerely believe we can build a middle class out of government jobs paid for with borrowed dollars. In fact, it works the other way. A government as big and bossy as this one is maintained on the backs of the middle class and those who hope to join it.
Is that what's going on, Representative Kind?
Well, I think you got to take, listen, I got a lot of respect for Governor Daniels, and, you know, he served as OMB director here in Washington, but it's just not the facts. I mean, the day President Obama took office, he already inherited a $1.5 trillion budget deficit from the previous administration. We were losing close to 800,000 jobs every month, not just for the year. And $17 trillion of wealth had already been destroyed in the stock market, and that was, by and large, I think, based on the trickle-down economic policies that preceded him. And it's not going to be turned around overnight. It's been a very painful, slow recovery. But what he said last night was true. We've had 22 consecutive months of private sector job growth. The deficit is starting to come down right now. Almost everything that was lost in the stock market due to the financial crisis has been restored right now. But we're nowhere near where we need to be to tapping the true potential of this nation. And I think that's why so much of what he was talking about last night was forward-looking rather than backward-looking, and just a lot of common-sense proposals. Of course, we've got to invest in our children's education and job training opportunities for our workers so they've got the skills to compete globally. There's no question we've got to continue working on health care reform to bring costs down. It's the major cost driver at every level right now, federal, state, and local, and for businesses and families alike. So doing nothing with health care system is not an option. And I think part of the strength of his speech was some of the accomplishments that he's had in these last 3 years overseas. No more troops in Iraq. We got bin Laden. We're expanding trade opportunities right now and getting back in the game economically when we're on the sidelines. So I think he's got a story of accomplishments to tell, but I know he wants to run a more forward-looking campaign, where we need to go as a nation, and how do we do it together.
Do you think there is any policy idea released last night that Congress will agree upon that will actually have some compromise?
Well, I was delighted to sit there listening to his emphasis on restoring the manufacturing base of our nation. Let's face it, Wisconsin is heavily manufacturing, not to mention agriculture. And I've been working on a tax proposal, which is a very simple proposition to businesses. Listen, if you're someone who creates something, builds something, produces something, invents something, grows something here in the United States of America, you're going to get a tax preference for doing that. And we're going to pay for it by closing down these tax loopholes that reward companies for shipping jobs overseas. A nation as great as ours has to have the ability to make things here at home, along with the good-paying jobs that come from it. So a large part of his speech was, how do we get this economy growing, with a particular emphasis on manufacturing, which really does speak to the potential of our state in Wisconsin.
Certainly the policy is the important stuff, but there's a lot of politics going on too, Congressman Kind. Are you optimistic about the Democrats' chances in the 2012 elections nationally and here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think our ideas are better than their ideas. I think there's a lot of overlap with some ideas that we should be exploring this year, even though it's going to be a rough and tumble presidential election year, and obviously with the recall in Wisconsin. But that's no excuse for the people who are representing our state and nation to stop working. We've got to continue to work hard to find some areas of common ground. And I think there can be some possibilities here. Restoring the manufacturing base of our nation, I would think, is something shared no matter what political stripe you come from. Being concerned about our children's educational opportunities is something that all us parents are concerned about every day who have children. And quite frankly, it's essential for us to remain a superpower and an economic power. And I'm also glad that the president highlighted the very pervasive and I think corrosive role that money is playing in politics today. We cannot ignore the Citizens United case and what that is doing to our democracy, and the fact that you've got unchecked, unlimited funds flooding these campaigns with no transparency, no accountability whatsoever. And I think it's very dangerous for our democracy if nothing is done about that.
Congressman Kind, are you still mulling the possibility of running against Governor Walker in a recall election?
Well, I've got a full plate right now, to be honest, Joy, but I've made no secret that I think we are in desperate need of new leadership in the state. I think what Governor Walker has done, the agenda he's promoted that has bitterly divided our state, communities, and even families, was completely unnecessary. Listen, our public employee workers knew they had to be a part of the solution. They were willing to be at the table to contribute, to help get our budgets back under control. But for him to turn around then and start demonizing them, and I'm also glad in last night's State of the Union, the president did have a shout-out for the teachers of our nation. They have perhaps the most important and yet difficult job that we asked them to do. And why it became politically fashionable to start attacking teachers and what they're trying to do to improve our children's education is beyond me. And quite frankly, it's beyond the pale. I think there is a need for a new direction, and I would hope a period of reconciliation for our state Staying as divided as we are is not good for us and the jobs that should be created. And it has to change.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which includes the cities of La Crosse and Eau Claire. By the way, the State of the State address is tonight. Governor Walker will deliver that address starting at 7 o'clock. We will carry that live here on the Ideas Network. It will be followed by a Democratic response. Tomorrow morning at this time, all morning long, in fact, from 6 until 9, we will have a variety of reactions and perspectives for you on the state of the state of Wisconsin. That's tomorrow. Right now, we're talking about the State of the Union, and we're welcoming your reactions, too. And we're taking your calls. Bill in Hill's Corners is next. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm sorry. What is your name? Joy?
Yes, Bill, it is.
Joy?
Go ahead, Bill. What do you think about the State of the Union?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've been in the financial services industry for 31 years. And I've followed trends closely since 1983. We're at $10 trillion easily in debt, and that's just continuing to climb. The debt has not been abated. So Obama is a very good speech giver, but I find the entire speech lacked substance because he didn't address the debt issue of the country. The party is soon to be over because the country will collapse. It cannot continue on this trend with the massive debt that we're running up and not addressing. So anything else that he set up to that point has just been fluff. And I think because he did not address spending, the speech had no substance as far as I was concerned because it didn't address the issue of the country.
Thanks very much, Bill, for the call. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are welcoming your calls about the State of the Union, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Millions of Americans who work hard and play by the rules every day deserve a government and a financial system that do the same. It's time to apply the same rules from top to bottom. No bailouts, no handouts, and no cop-outs. An America built to last insists on responsibility from everybody.
That's President Obama last night delivering his State of the Union address. The president saying that the State of the Union is getting stronger. Meanwhile, the Republican response from Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels saying that the State of the Union is grave in part because of the debt. We wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are getting all sorts of reaction from many different guests. We welcome now Thomas P. Tri, who is a Republican U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, which includes the cities of Fond du Lac and Sheboygan. Congressman Petri joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for joining us. So what do you think of, what was your reaction to the President's State of the Union address?
Well, I think it's understandable that any president in his fourth year of his term is going to want to point back with pride to success and certainly the elimination of Osama bin Laden is something that he pointed to, and I think the end of combat operations in Iraq, although there's a lot of trepidation as to whether that is going to hold as a stable part of the world, but we have to hope for the best. On many of the other items, we've had a pattern of ideas being suggested without and goals being expressed without the president's ideas as to how to actually do it. And the devil is often in the details, especially when we're using the government as an instrument to achieve those goals. As a lot of the problems we have now are because of previous efforts to use the government to accomplish some laudable objectives. So I'm hoping that in his budget submission or later as we go forward, we'll find out what, rather than just asking us to do something that may not be possible to do in a constructive way, he'll suggest how he thinks we ought to do it so we can start from there and see if it it makes sense or if we can improve it.
Well, how about the specific of raising taxes on millionaires?
Well, number one, millionaires have lots of capital by definition, and the tax is not on the capital. Number two, we have tax-free instruments like state and local bonds that, if they were taxed, have to pay higher rates of interest, so people's real estate taxes would go up. That's the example of the kind of unintended consequences we're talking about. Number three, we have people who have the ability to move their income around or themselves out of our jurisdiction, as we see people going to Florida because of Wisconsin's taxes in some cases. Number four, a lot of this income is what's called Schedule C income. That means a person may even borrow money to start a business, report the income on their personal taxes, but be investing it all in the business. And, of course, if you take that away, there are fewer jobs and the business grows more slowly.
Let me get your reaction, Congressman Petri, to President Obama's comments about how it will take more stimulus-style action to boost the economy.
In the next few weeks, I will sign an executive order clearing away the red tape that slows down too many construction projects. But you need to fund these projects. Take the money we're no longer spending at war, use half of it to pay down our debt, and use the rest to do some nation building right here at home.
Well, how about that? Would that work?
That would be a good idea. I strongly favored, actually, at the time we were talking about a stimulus package, one that was more focused on construction projects in the country that would have a long-term benefit rather than a short-term aid to various government units, which is what most of it ended up being. We really do have a major needs. One of them is upgrading the locks and dams on the Mississippi, which affects a lot of our agricultural and other exports that need to reach world markets that way. Those are near a state of collapse, according to the Corps of Engineers. There's a lot of work that can be done in other areas that would help us. One big one is through state-private federal partnerships, upgrading the infrastructure and the railroad infrastructure in the Chicago area, because we have to ship to the east through that bottleneck, and it raises the cost of transportation for Wisconsin businesses and makes it harder for people to locate in our state. So there are things that we really do need in that whole area, and so I hope we can. We're trying to get to work in our transportation committee on a bill that meets those objectives as well, and hopefully we can take the best from his ideas and our ideas and the Senate ideas and actually get something done.
Well, good. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thomas Petri, Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. So, what do you think about the State of the Union? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Did you generally agree with President Obama? Did you like what he had to say last night or not so much? Our next caller is Brenda in Kenosha. Hello, Brenda.
Hi there, Joy.
Hi.
I had a mixed reaction to the president's speech last night, but a couple of things did impress me. He said that we should take an example from our military and work together. In order for them to succeed, they know they've got to work together, cover each other's backs, trust each other, and move forward with each other. And if we're going to make any progress with our country, that's going to have to be stressed. I don't expect that the Republicans and Democrats are ever going to do it, but I think that that's what we need to focus when we vote for people. Work together. You know, we're not in where you can't succeed unless we're going to work together. And another thing that impressed me was that he was talking about, you know, the borders. I don't agree with him. I think we need to put a wall on that border that's effective. We need to stop the influx. It's affecting our economy. It's affecting our schools, every aspect of life, because we're just being invaded by people that we're giving so much to. So we need to address that as well. And I don't think there are a lot of people who are really taking that as seriously as they should.
Yeah, you don't. He did say we have more boots on the ground on the border than ever before, and the rate of illegal immigration is lower right now than it has been. So, but you don't think that we should work on comprehensive immigration reform?
No, I think we really need to put a lock on that door, stop the influx, and then we can work with our economy and everything else improving. But if that keeps happening and keep a flow coming in, we're not going to get a grasp on anything and be able to succeed.
Thank you very much, Brenda, for the call. Don in Madison. Hello, Don.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you. What do you think about the State of the Union?
I think that the president's speech last night was effective and successful, and in large measure, many of its topics preempted what would ordinarily have been Republican policies. That is to say, President Obama has successfully become promotes policies that would ordinarily have been done by a Republican politician, and that the Republican Party, because of what it's done recently with its resort to regional politics, will become a regional party, or unless something's done about it. And we need two national parties. If the Republicans become weakened and regional, we won't have two parties, and the nation will suffer by reason of that.
All right. Thank you very much, Don. Now we go to Tim in La Crosse. Hello, Tim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was very disappointed in the speech last night. I was frustrated that, in my estimation, he took the easy topics, didn't talk about Social Security and the mess that that's in, Medicare. But more importantly, the thing that's most frustrating is the United States Senate, led by Democrats, has not passed a federal budget in over 1,000 days. And that obviously he would not bring that up because it would point him in bad light and Democrats. But it's absolutely ridiculous that the U.S. Senate cannot pass a federal budget.
All right. Thanks very much, Tim. Scott in Iron Mountain, Michigan is with us now. Hello, Scott.
Hi, good morning. Hey, you know, it seems like every time that president opens his mouth, he sticks his foot in his mouth. You know, I just can't believe the way this guy talked about creating jobs, and yet he's shutting pipelines down, and he's putting money into these solar companies, $500 billion, that's out the window. When are we going to get that back? You know, now he's talking about the war, you know, taking the money from the war and paying off the debt, which is good. But, you know, hey, take the rest of the money from the war. Let's get some shovel-ready jobs. Build that border fence down in Colorado. And then those are all shovel-ready jobs, you know. And then, you know, I don't know.
I'm just trying to understand, Scott. So he did say let's use half that money from the war and pay down the debt and use the other half for infrastructure jobs.
Yeah, where? Solar companies again, like he did the first time with Sorrento? I mean, this guy don't have a clue. And in Wisconsin, you guys got the best governor you could ever have. He paid down your debt. He got rid of the debt. He's got a budget surplus. And he did that all the first year he was in office. If Obama could think like Governor Walker did, the people in Wisconsin don't understand what kind of governor they got.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about the state of the state and our governor tomorrow in our state of the state coverage. Right now, we're talking about the State of the Union address. And we have another guest to bring in for another perspective. Alan Loudon is with us, a professor of communication at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Professor Loudon, we have a little bit of a fuzzy connection here. Hopefully we can hear you.
We're going to get the elevator here in 1 second. We'll have okay.
Oh, I see. You're in the elevator, and we have about 5 minutes to go. So let me see if are you there?
I am.
Okay, sounds much better. Sounds much better, yes.
Yeah.
So as State of the Union speeches go, what did you think of this one?
Well, you know, I think Obama's been has not hit an eloquence and or one of his, you know, famous speeches. You could hear, I heard all kinds of, the speech is political, but I heard all kinds of echoes of the convention speech, the sort of not a red or a blue nation. he was sort of doing bipartisanship in a way that was fundamentally different than his job speech, which felt highly partisan. This one he really, really, really spoke well. But the trick is, of course, the people don't hear these speeches, they just hear about these speeches. So I thought it was one of his better moments since he's been president, frankly.
Yeah. All right. What about the Republican response for equal time?
Well, you know, I thought that was also more substantive than we may have heard in the debates, and Mitch Daniel was playing the role of the adult in the room, and that was refreshing as well.
Yeah. So do State of the Union addresses make a difference in terms of policy?
I think that they used to make much more of a difference, and they kind of get lost in the milieu now of so much information. And, of course, like, this one's kind of interesting because, you know, Obama's putting a video out ahead of time telling you how to hear it. Bonner's putting it out of his office, videos telling you how to listen to it. All the media's decided ahead of time, for right reasons, actually, that it's just going to be a political statement. CNN was on within seconds reinterpreting every policy in terms of its political content. So in some senses, they're really outside of the policy realm anymore in the sense we used to think of it.
Mm-hmm. And now the president is on a tour touting his yep. the policies. This is talk a little, if you can, about the politics that you heard last night in the State of the Union
sure,
speech.
Sure. Well, of course, they do the tours because it's sort of going public, as the term we use, and you can go and sort of bypass the narrative, at least in local markets. And I haven't looked at his itinerary, but I presume he's touring the states that will be in contention in the election.
Pretty much.
And then you can take the speech and extend that talk. Now, he did the same thing, really, with the job speech, hugely, and it went nowhere. And he kept it in, you know, for certain constituencies, I suppose he kept it on, he did it here in North Carolina. And the woman who was on television last night, the State of the Union, was part of that. But it's unclear to me that makes a huge amount of difference anymore. you know, you try to keep it alive. Now, in terms of the policy in the speech, it was kind of interesting that, he framed a lot of, things in terms that even Cantor was applauding fairly heavily at the end. Of course, the line from Abraham Lincoln was the classic one about, you know, don't do more than you need to do, and that's what government means. And, of course, the Republicans even stood up, and I think that may have been the only time. But actual policy really comes back to framing the debate for the election because it really didn't change fundamentally. We need to do these things that you Republicans agree with, but it will take government action to do them, and you won't agree with that. So let's have the debate. That's how I heard it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for sharing your perspective with us.
Well, thank you. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Alan Loudon is a professor of communication at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. So there we have it for our coverage of the State of the Union address and the Republican response. There is more to come today, so you'll have more of an opportunity to chime in on what you think the State of the Union is. Kathleen Dunn will be talking about it coming up after 9 o'clock. And Talk of the Nation, I'm sure, will touch on it this afternoon after 1 o'clock, as will Ben Marins after 4 o'clock this afternoon. Then tonight, it's the State of the State address and the Democratic response. We will start our coverage here on the Ideas Network at 7 o'clock this evening. And we will follow up tomorrow morning. So tomorrow between 6 and 9, we will have a wide variety of guests and political commentators and experts and lawmakers talking with you about the state of the state of Wisconsin. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.